Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll read verses 6 through 11 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. First Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you that it's warm, it's friendly. Most of all, thank you for your presence here. Thank you that it can be said of our town, there's a man of God in this city. Thank you for the man of God that you brought our way. Now, Father, please fill him with your power as he preaches. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I will discuss with you a verse who many of you, or a verse that many of you know and have quoted and referred to, but probably never really thought much about. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm going to read some verses to you. You don't have to turn to them. The Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, what I want you to notice here is in four or five verses, quickly, God does an awful lot of teaching about money. But listen to what it says. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Notice that the Bible says that godliness is great gain. Godliness is great gain. That is totally contrary to the world's philosophy. Great gain to this world is money and riches and diamonds and gold and owning land and fancy cars and fancy houses. But that's not what the Bible says. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You say, what's that mean? Well, I'm not really sure about the appropriate way to describe it, but you came forth from your mother's womb and you didn't have anything, not any clothes on your back. And when you leave, you're not taking anything with you. Only those things that you have sent ahead to heaven, that's just about all you're going to have to claim in this life. What's God talking about? Again, he's referring to our gain, our money, things, finances, if you will. And the Bible says, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. The word content there, it's two words, contento, and it's talking about being held together. You ought to be able to keep it together. You've got food, you've got clothing, and when it talks about food, it's not talking about the amount of food that we have. It's talking about you have enough in your belly to keep you alive. Not an overflowing freezer and cupboards with box after box after box and can after can after can of food. The average American has more food than most people in the world will ever have. When it's talking about raiment, it's not talking about that closet, that rod in the closet that's ready to break because it is so loaded down with clothing, and the box after box after box of clothes that you have in your garage or under your bed, and the piles of clothes that you have in the laundry room that, by the way, need washed if you get to that. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about you have enough clothing to keep yourself from being naked, and you have enough food to be alive. And the Bible says here, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. In other words, you ought to be happy if you've got that. You've got to be happy. It goes on to say, But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. I could comment on all that. I'm not going to. But then here's the verse that interests me most for this morning. The Bible says, "For the love of money is root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." The Bible talks about the love of money. I wonder how many times I've heard people make comment about that verse. Well, the love of money is the root of all evil. And most of them misquote it, where they say, well, money is the root of all evil. That's not what it says. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, before you get all panicky, if you're a visitor today and you say, I knew if I went down to that church, that money-grabbing preacher, he was going to preach to me about my money. Well, that's not the case, just so you know. I'm going to try to get any of your money. Not at all. That's not my intent at all, but I'm going to promise you this. How you handle your money and what you do with your money determines whether you're right with God, and number two, it'll determine a little bit your attitude and your success of life. This church would tell you, I, on a Wednesday night, preached almost 40 Wednesday nights in a row for 45-minute sermons, and I'm a whole series on the subject of our finances. Only one of them was about giving to the church. All the rest was trying to get people to get their money under control, because this is a character issue. You might not want to hear about money because you have character problems. That's not even the intent of this morning. I want to talk to you about this. The Bible talks about the love of money. Now, here's what you need to do, folks. Everybody, I want you to sit there and smile and act, you know, pious and all those things that we like to do at church. And last thing you'd want to do is make anybody believe you're guilty of what I'm preaching on. So you don't have to do that. But while you're looking real cool on the outside, I hope you get to thinking on the inside. Because I would really like for you to have a meeting with you and God about the subject of the love of money. The love of money. You know, there are things that money won't buy. There are things that money will buy. Money will buy a bed, but not sleep. Money will buy books, but not brains. Money will buy food, but not an appetite. Money will buy the finer things of life, but not real beauty. Money will buy a house, but it can't buy a home. Money can buy medicine, but it can't buy health. Money can buy luxuries, but it cannot buy comfort. Money can buy amusements, but it can't buy joy. Money can buy religion, but you can't buy salvation. Oh, money's such a deceiver. Money gets put in the forefront when it ought to be kept in the background. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Now remember, it does not say that money is the root of all evil. It does say that it is the love of money. And I've thought about that verse. I've heard it quoted and quoted and misquoted and used here, there, and most of us have. But I found my thought process captured by the thought that money, or the love of money, is the root of all evil. Now let me tell you something. Let me start out by going right for the pulse of this thing, the heart of it. Matthew chapter 22, verse number 37 and 38 says, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." And this is the first and the great commandment. So let me say right off the bat, by way of introduction, if I could please, one of the big issues about our love for money is that we're not supposed to love money, we're supposed to love God. Now I've told you why you have a problem with a love for money, because you don't love God. You and I were commanded to love God. And how are we to love God? With all our heart, with all our soul, with all of our mind. You and I are commanded to love our God. God then does this. I love it. I got to thinking about this teaching about the love of money, and the Bible says that for the love of money is the root of all evil. And I thought, okay, well, I'm to love God and I'm not to love money. And I thought, well, let's find out what are the characteristics of love. If I could figure out what the characteristics of proper love are, you know, I might find out how I end up expressing my love for money. Let me show you what I mean. I'm going to give you some of the characteristics of love. For instance, John 14, verse number 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So what God is saying there is, if you say you love God, then you're going to keep His commandments. There are those that say, "Oh, I love God, but you never do anything God says," and God would question your love then. But if you love God, you're going to keep His commandments. There is a characteristic of love. Then, another verse. John 15:13 says this, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." That means, if you love something, you will lay down your life for it. And so you know, that might mean that you die for that something that you love. But I think it means more than that. I think it actually means that you give of your life. You lay down your life. In other words, you give your life for your friends. Look, it's easy to die for someone. It's hard to live for someone. Dying for someone is just a split second. Living for someone truly takes character and consistency. So I think when the Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends," it's talking about someone that's willing to give of their life for their friends. Now, here it says, that's a great love. So, if I love something, I will give my life. I'll lay down my life for the object of my love. Thirdly, characteristics of love. Romans 13:10 says, "Love worketh no ill." Worketh no ill. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Here the Bible says, love worketh no ill. Love does not want to hurt its object. Love does not want to work ill toward the object of its love. What are we doing here? We are looking at what God said the characteristics are of love. What do we see if someone has love? Now in a minute, let me remind you where we're going. We want to figure this thing out called the love of money. Let me give you another verse. Galatians 5:13 says this, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Here the Bible says one of the characteristics of love is you want to serve your object. Now love is not being served, love is serving. "Well, if my wife loved me, she would serve me." Well, if you loved your wife, you would serve her. Love causes us to want to serve the object of our love. Let's go on. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows of mercy." Here the Bible talks about the comfort of love. Why? Love produces comfort. Love provides comfort. So we've seen that love causes us to keep commandments or obey. We see that love means one would lay down its life for the object. And love worketh no ill. And love wants to serve. And love provides comfort. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Here the Bible says that love provides security. Love removes fear. Let's go on. What are the characteristics of this thing called love? Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love." Love creates labor. Love produces labor. Now, we've glanced at many scriptures here. Those scriptures define love for us. They talk about the characteristics of love. But let's get back to the purpose of this sermon. We've got to figure out this passage of scripture found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10. The often quoted scripture of the love of money is the root of all evil. Let's see if we can figure out what that means. Well, first of all, let's use the very scriptures that God used to define the characteristics of love. And I think if we find that we love money, then we will behave ourselves toward money the way God tells us to behave ourselves toward Him and the people we love. For instance, number one, if you love money, you will obey it. So, well, where do you get that? John chapter 14, verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." God said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But wait, if you love money, you'll keep its commandments. You'll obey it. And just so you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. We're not promoting the love of money. I'm trying to tell you, to love money is wrong. You're to love God. You're to love God. So, if you love me, keep my commandments. Hey, if you love money, it means that money becomes, in a way, your God. Hey, money becomes your leader. Why? You're going to obey it. You're going to obey its commandments. Hey, do you obey money? Well, you ought to obey God. Money becomes your God, or money becomes your leader. Has money become your boss? Does money give you orders? Does money command you to do certain things? Has money become your controller? You get all that? Understand something. God's supposed to be your leader. God's supposed to be your boss. God's supposed to give you orders. God's supposed to be your controller. You are to control your money. Your money is not to control you. Do you obey money or your desire for it more than you obey God? Do you obey money? And has money become your commander? Has money become your chief? Has money become your life's authority? Has money become your dictator? Has money become your king? And remember, the Bible says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That is a characteristic of love. In other words, love produces an obedience to its object. And if you love money, you go around obeying money.
Right.
Do you obey money instead of the Bible? Do you obey money over God's plan for your church attendance? Has money become your master? Is every decision you make in life a money decision? Good people think that way. It's all about money. It's all about money. It's all about money. It's all about money. So, if you love money, you will find yourself obeying money. Because one of the characteristics of love is obedience. Number two, if you love money, you will lay down your life for it. Or you will give your life for it. John chapter 15, verse number 13, the Bible says this, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now remember, I don't think that verse only teaches that you would die for your friend because you love them. I think, as I said, it is a greater sacrifice for someone to lay down or give their life. In other words, live their life for the object of their love rather than just dying. It's a tougher thing to live your life for God. You want to really prove that you love God, then lay down your life for God. That's not talking about becoming a martyr, though that could be included. It's really talking about you dying to yourself and giving yourself to God. Hey, when you love something, you give your life to it. Hey, is your bank account more important to you than God? Is your savings account more important to you than God? Are your investments more important to you than God? Your 401k plan, your IRA, your financial portfolio, are all those things more important to you than God? You see, when the Bible's talking about our laying down our life for something that we love, it means that you give up other things to give your life to the object of your love. If you love money, you give up other things to give yourself to the making of money. And the gathering of things in life. For instance, do you love money so much that you give your life to it and you will not give your life to your mate? Did you know that your marriage is more important than your money? Do you love money so much that you give your life to it and you do not give your life to your children? Well, may I say to you, your children are more important than your bank account? Do you love your money so much that you give your life to it and you do not give your life to Jesus Christ? And God is more important than your money? And your marriage is more important than your money? And your children are more important than your money? Do you love money so much that you give your life to it and you do not give your life to coming out soul winning? Because your money is more important than the souls of men? Do you love your money so much that you give your life to it and you will not give your life to obeying God about the tithe? Do you love your money so much that you give your life to it and would like give your life to come into church 3 times a week? Do you love your money so much that you will give your life to money and you will not give your life to serve your God and your church? See, the love of money is the root of all evil. And whatever God teaches us are the characteristics of love. If we will research those characteristics and if we find them present toward our money, it's proving to us we love money rather than love God. If you love money, you're going to obey it. If you love money, you'll lay down your life for it. You would rather lay down your life for money than lay down your life for your wife, lay down your life for your kids, lay down your life for your church, lay down your life for your God, lay down your life for the souls of men. It's easy to figure out. Oh, we hear people quote that verse, but actually having it applied to our life, it's a little scary. We're going to have to face that thing. Number three, if you love money, your decisions, your life are all about not hurting your money. Let me show you. I said if you love money, your decisions in your life are going to be all about not hurting your money. Why? Because Romans 13:10 told us one of the characteristics of love is love worketh no ill. Love does not want to hurt the object of its purpose or of its love. Notice, worketh no ill. Do you love money so much that you will hurt your wife before you will hurt your money? Do you love money so much that you will hurt your husband before you will hurt your money? Do you love money so much that you will hurt your son before you will hurt your money? Do you love money so much that you will hurt your daughter before you will hurt your money? The Bible's saying, if we have a love for money, then we won't want to hurt our money. Why? Real love worketh no ill. Do you love money so much that you will hurt your financial relationship with God before you will hurt your own finances? Do you love money so much that you will hurt your church before you will hurt your money? Do you love money so much that you will hurt your Sunday school class before you will hurt your money? Do you love money so much that you will hurt your bus route before you will hurt your money? Do you love money so much that you will hurt your friends before you will hurt your money? The Bible says, love worketh no ill. You would be surprised at how many people choose not to hurt their bank account, not to hurt their money, but to hurt people, and they'll hurt God. We're talking about the love of money. The love of money will cause you to obey money. The love of money will cause you to lay down your life for money. The love of money will cause you to make decisions and you'll hurt other things, but you won't hurt your money. The love of money. Number four, if you love money, you'll serve it. You'll serve it. How do we know? Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13, it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." What's the Bible saying? When you love something, you'll serve that something. I love my wife, so I want to serve my wife. I love my church, so I want to serve my church. I love my God, so I want to serve my God. I love my boss, so I want to serve my boss. I love Jesus, so I want to serve Jesus. That's what the Bible says. When you say, "Oh, I just love God," do you serve God? Well, no, then you are not loving Him like God expected your love to be expressed. It means you got to put your, it's kind of like you put your money where your mouth is. Have you become money's servant? Because if love means service, that means if you love money, you're going to serve money. I'm amazed at what people will do for money, but they won't do for God.
Right.
I'm amazed at what people will do for money, but they won't do for people. I'm amazed that there's some people in here. There are men in here that will put up with so much stuff at work to make money and go home and have the slightest little tiff with their wife and they're ready to divorce her, but he'll keep his job and put up with all the junk from a bunch of men that he's not married to. But it's all about the almighty buck.
Right.
I'll go through everything to keep my money, but I'll trash my wife or trash my husband in a moment. I'll destroy my kids by never spending any time with them. Man, I'll go to work and put in all the time that it takes there. Why? Because love of money is the root of all evil. Whatever the characteristics of love are, and those characteristics will show up if we love money. Is it that you are serving money? Because we serve what we love. Have you become money's maid? Have you become money's butler? Have you become money's doorman? Have you become money's waiter? Have you become money's chauffeur? Have you become money's maitre d'? Have you become money's valet? Have you become money's stewardess? Have you become money's page? Have you become money's slave? Have you become money's caddy? Have you become money's water boy? Have you become money's waitress? Have you become money's bellhop? Have you become money's servant? Do you serve money but not God? Do you serve money but not those soul winning? Do you serve money but not your mate? Do you serve money but not your children? Do you serve money but not your parents? Do you serve money but you won't get in a music ministry? Do you serve money but not in the bus ministry? Do you serve money but you won't serve in Sunday school? Do you serve money but you have no interest in the ministries of the church? That means you love money.
Right.
Because if you will serve money and you won't serve God, you're proving what you really love. See, whatever the characteristics are of love, when the Bible says the love of the money is the root of all evil, you're figuring out if you love money. And if you love, you obey. Are you obeying money? If you love, you'll lay down your life for the object of your love. Are you laying down your life for your money? If you love, all your decisions are about not hurting the object of your love. Would you do anything to protect your money and not hurt your money? Money, the love of anything, produces service. Do you serve your money but not serve people and serve God and serve at your church? Number five, if you love money, you look to money to get your comfort. If you love money, you look to your money for your comfort. Why? Well, Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1 says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love. The Bible teaches that love brings comfort. Yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, I conducted the funeral service for William Parkinson. He said, "Brother Owens, what were you trying to do?" Because I love those people that were there at that funeral service, I so desperately wanted to comfort them. I wanted to comfort them. Why? I love them. When you love, you seek comfort and peace for those that you love. That's what you want. Oh, so if you love money, then it's become a comfort issue for you. But John 14:26 says this, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you." I hate to tell you, folks, nowhere does the Bible say money's supposed to comfort you.
Right.
God's supposed to comfort you.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit of God is to be your comforter. We live in a world where we think money is to be our God. You see, there's three parts of God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when we go seeking our comfort from money, when we're supposed to be seeking it from God the Holy Spirit, money has become our God because we've let money become our comforter. See, a druggie looks to their cocaine for comfort. A money lover looks to their money for their comfort. A boozer, he looks to his alcohol for his comfort. A money lover looks to their money for their comfort. A pill popper looks to their pills for their comfort. A money lover looks to their money for their comfort. A glutton looks to their food for their comfort. A money lover looks to their money for their comfort. A smoker looks to their Marlboro man for their comfort. A money lover looks to their money for their comfort. An adulterer looks to their adulteress for their comfort. And a money lover looks to their money for their comfort. Folks, I better tell you something. Money, here today, gone tomorrow. God, here today, here tomorrow. If I were you, I would turn my love toward God. I'd make sure that you're not in love with money. Oh my, oh my, oh my, the decisions that we make about money, 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 money. You say, you're trying to get my money? No, I'm trying to get God to you. I don't have to get your money. You get right with God, you'll do right with your money. Money. Huh. The Bible says there is comfort in love. And if we love something, then that's something that we love, we find comfort in loving it and it loving us. But you better be careful, because if you're in love with money, it is money that's providing your comfort in life. You know something? Someone that knows God loves them and they love God, they can live in the poorest environment on the face of the earth and still be happy. The people that are all mixed up about what to love, they think things bring happiness. And my friends, somebody's lied to you. Things won't make you happy. You can buy a fancy car, but you can't buy peace. Huh. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Number six. If you love money, you depend on it to provide your security. You depend on it. It becomes your security. 1 John 4:18 says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Hey, listen to me now. The Bible's telling us here that when there's love, there's security. There's got to be love. That's one reason why I know God loves me. When I got saved, I got my security. I got saved. I've got eternal security. When He saved me, He wanted to prove to me once I was saved, I'd always be saved. He didn't want me to be worrying all the time about that thing. He said, I loved you. I saved you. You can go to the bank on that. And boy, I'm secure in the Beloved. I'm born again. I can't lose it. He's not going to take it away from me. I've got that. Why? God loves me. He loves me. But you know what? We get to looking for our security elsewhere, though, don't we? You know, we're to live by faith. And we're to get our security and protection from God, not from our wallet. Psalm 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, you know what that means? God is enough for you. And you don't have to want anything else. The Lord is my shepherd, and seeing who's in charge of me, seeing who's providing for me, seeing who loves me, I don't have to want anything else. What a power-packed verse. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't need anything else. I've got God. Then it says in verse number 4 of Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Notice it doesn't say a thing about my bank account comforted me. And when you're at the valley of the shadow of death, it won't matter how much money you have. You'll either know God or you'll be poor. Because money does not give the kind of security you think it does. You'll spend your life chasing after money, and on the day of your death, you'll realize it wasn't worth the chase. You'll be looking for God. You'll be looking for your son and your daughter to love you. Because money, the time of death, suddenly it reveals itself for the crook in life that it can become. Oh, listen, I understand. You know, we have to have money. We have to pay our bills. You're supposed to have a job. You're supposed to work hard. You're supposed to save. You're supposed to plan for your future. I'm talking to those of us that love money. We love it. And if you love money, you're going to expect money to provide all your security. The Bible says here that we don't have to fear evil Not because of money, though. Not because of the absence of or the presence of. We don't fear evil because He's our shepherd. Has money become your security? Have you proven that you love money because that's where you get all your security? Has money become your protector instead of God? Has money become your shepherd instead of God? Has money become your security camera instead of God's ever watchful eye? Has money become your Brinks instead of God? Has money become your bolt lock instead of God? Has money become your lifeguard instead of God? Has money become your watchdog instead of God? Has money become your firewall instead of God? Has money become your lighthouse instead of God? Has money become your flare for life and in case of emergency instead of the fire of God? Has money become your military instead of God? Has money become your police officer instead of God? Has money become your equalizer instead of God? Has money become your security lights instead of God? Has money become your metal detector instead of God? Has money become your bailiff instead of God? Has money become your National Guard instead of God? Has money become your insurance instead of God? If you love money, you derive your security from money when you're supposed to get your security from God. And I'm telling you, some of you, you think, I got all the security I need. You could lose it all tomorrow. And if you, hey, let me ask you a question. If you found out tomorrow God was all you had left, have you been practicing it being satisfied with that? I got such a sweet letter from a lady in this church. I would not tell you who she is. She'll know who she is. It slid under my door this week. And she said, Brother Owens, something happened this week. But I'll tell you, I found my comfort. I found my strength from God. Wow. That comfort and strength didn't come from somebody. It didn't come from something. It came from the God that owns all the money anyway. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And He owns the hills. While you're busy ignoring Him to get money, He's saying, I've got everything you need. I didn't give you that money so you could love it. I gave you that money because I love you. Now love me back and get your security from me. Hey, has your money become your security? There's a man, he died, and when he was taken to hell, the devil was walking him through hell, and as he passed by the fiery pits, and the shrieking, screaming of sinners, he saw a man, and he recognized that man. He said, hey, there's my accountant. And that accountant was snuggling up by this beautiful babe of a woman in a corner, having a good time. That's unfair, cried the man. He said, I'm going to roast for all eternity, and my accountant gets to spend his eternity with that beautiful woman? Shut up, said the devil. Poked at him with his pitchfork. He said, who are you to question that woman's punishment for eternity? Hey, money only makes shallow people happy for a little while. Get that? Money only makes shallow people happy for a little while. Because the great things in life can't be bought. Can't be bought. Money. The love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Hey, if you love money, you'll give your labor for it. Now, make sure you understand right off the bat. I believe in working hard. Now, I believe that you ought to give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. But listen, Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 10, it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Here the Bible proves that we are to, if we love something, we will labor for that something. So don't misunderstand this point. We are to labor to get money. That is right. But the problem is, when people love money, they may labor to get it, but they won't labor for the other things in life they say they love. I know people that, hey, they'll labor. They'll work hard. They don't work hard at their marriage. They don't work hard at being a good wife or a good husband. They'll labor to get money. Does your love for money motivate you to labor to get it, but you won't labor at other things? Hey, is this the one area of life where you have developed some character and everybody says, well, I'll tell you what, he ain't worth nothing else, but he's a hard worker, probably a lust for money. He's a deadbeat dad, but he'll go to work every day. He's rude to his wife, but he'll go to work every day. He'll go to work every day. He won't do anything for God, but he'll go to work every day. Look! Wake up!
Amen.
You'll labor for money, but you won't labor to be a good American. You won't labor to be a good husband. You won't labor to be a good dad. You won't labor to be a good wife. Hey, you won't labor for the things that really count, but you'll labor. You say, I'll go to work. Why? Because your affair is with money. Hey, does your love for money motivate you to labor for money, but you won't labor at being a good husband, or labor at being a good wife, or labor at being a good father, or labor at being a good son, or labor at being a good daughter? Oh, you'll work for money. You'll go to work. You'll put in your 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week. You'll shut up and do what the boss says. You'll do everything you gotta do to get that money, and you get home and you're a tyrant, and you're rude, and you don't love your wife, and you don't love your husband, and you don't love your God, and you don't love your kids, and you don't love your parents. Oh, but suddenly you can become submissive at work. So that's because I have a good quality. Probably because you lust money. You're willing to submit and do whatever you have to do to get the one thing that is most important to you. Money. Do you labor at being a good Christian? No. But I'm top dog at work. That's more important to you than being right with God? Is your love for money the primary purpose of your labor in life? Hey, let's love the right things. Let's never choose money over our wives. Let's never choose money over our husbands. Let's never choose money over honesty.
Amen.
Let's never choose money over our sons. Let's never choose money over our daughters. Let's never choose money over our church attendance. Let's never choose money over our God. Let's never choose money over the souls of men. You see, the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. Now, I'm not here to get your money. I'm here to get you to direct your love in the right direction. You'll figure out how much you love your money when the day comes and you start making choices between money and people and money and God. And you ignore the people and you ignore the God, but you turn your attention on the money. Some of us do it constantly. You won't be happy that way. You won't be. I have a friend, I'll not mention his name. I sat with him one day. We were sitting at a table drinking a cup of coffee. He said to me, I remember how desperately I wanted to be a millionaire. He said, I made my million. He said, I want to tell you, Jeff, the truth is, the minute I made my million, I set my sights on two. He said, I made two, and I set my sights on three. He said, the very moment I had what I thought that I wanted, something inside me said, there's got to be more, you got to go after more. He went all the way through it. I made $3 million, then I made four, and then I made five. He said, this last year, I made $14 million in 12 months. He said, and I'm just telling you, what you do is more fulfilling than what I do. He said, you're a happier man than I. He said, you have more than me. He said, all I have are things. He said, man, you have people that love you and that you love. He said, I feel like I'm sitting at the table with a rich man. Are you mature enough to stop and realize what I'm saying to you? Money won't make you happy. It's your husband and your wife and your kids, your relationship with God and your friends. That's really what will make you rich. For the love of money is the root of evil. Huh. May be that we find that love of money involved in a lot of problems in life and we never even associated the two. I hope you've listened. If you're here today and you're not on your way to heaven, heaven's wonderful. Golden streets. Perfect health care plan. All paid for in full. No sickness, no pain, no sorrow, no parting, no dying. He said, but the ones I could never afford it. I know. God knew you couldn't afford it. So somebody paid your bill for you. Jesus Christ died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you, and He made it so you wouldn't have to pay for it. You say, what do I do? It's free. Not to Him. He paid big bucks for it. But for you, it's free. So why would He do that? Listen. Because God loves you. God loves you. You mean I'm going to get all that? For all eternity, golden streets and no pain and sorrow and I'll be cared for and no more problems or burdens. I'm going to get it all free? Yeah. Yeah. Because God loves you. He loves you. That doesn't make sense to me. I know God loves so deeply, man can't understand it. I don't have to pay anything. Pay for in full. Just awaiting your reception. You just say, I'll take it. It's yours. You're looking at a rich man. I'm saved. You talk about a retirement program. Woo! I got her made in the shade. And not only do I have a good retirement program here on earth, as much as a man can, I'm happy. I don't let money control me. It is my job, through the Spirit of God and the Word of God, for me to control the money that comes into my life, not for it to control me. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.